Good morning to each and every listener of the broadcast. I don't often speak of giving, but today my thought is that God loveth a cheerful giver, and He does just that. Giving is a part of the plan of God. It is necessary, and folks receive many blessings through giving. Listen to this poem, How the King Came. Not with the sound of rattling drums nor piercing bugle call, not with the wealthy nor the great, came Christ, the Lord of all. And not with any outward show to earth which He had made, the King came down a little child in lowly manger laid. And why so quiet was His birth? The angels did not know, and so they asked that they might haste and spread the news below. Consent was given, and off they flew on strong and rapid wing. On Bethlehem's plain they paused a while to show how angels sing. They told the shepherds of their King who came in peace to reign, then with glad and joyous song flew back to heaven again. Our King is here and reigns today, but not on gilded throne. He lives and reigns in every heart that claims Him as its own. No eye can now His kingdom see, but those who Christ possess, the kingdom find within their hearts joy, peace, and happiness. Then open wide each heart today and bid the King come in. He'll purify the trusting heart, and there His reign began. Now listen to this scripture. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. I would like to emphasize this cheerful giver. How do you suppose God gave His Son? Was it grudgingly or was it with cheerfulness? With cheerfulness, no doubt, for He knew it was going to bring in a harvest of souls through salvation. It was because God so loved that He gave His Son. This, then, is the New Testament standard for giving as one purposeth in his heart and with cheerfulness. I picked out a few scriptures, and it might prove interesting to you to know that all of our service to the Lord should be done with cheerfulness. Listen, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness, Romans 12:8. There's nothing quite like bringing good cheer to others. A certain quotation says, you have not fulfilled every duty unless you have fulfilled that of being pleasant. God's unchangeable law of sowing and reaping remains the same. Each person receives his pay in his own coin, so to speak. If you smile, others will smile in return. If you frown, others will frown in return. If you sing, you are likely to be received cheerfully. If you earnestly seek the good that is in others, you will be received by loving friends, and God will pour into your lap the treasures of a full and rich return. Censure, criticize, and hate, and you will be censured, criticized, and hated by others. Every seed brings forth after its kind. Mistrust begets mistrust, and confidence begets confidence. Kindness begets kindness, and love begets love. Resist, and you will be resisted. Jesus said, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Luke 6:38. To meet an aggressive assault, God's law is sure to rise up rigid and impenetrable. While yonder mountain of granite melts and floats away on the bosom of the river of love. Good advice for one who has rendered kindness with cheerfulness would be to remain silent. But he who has received a kindness should speak of it. Think of the times Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. His life was made up of bringing cheer to others. Listen, And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Matthew 9:2. I would say that was a happy day for that man, who was not only healed but forgiven of his sins. Again, the disciples had an experience when they needed some cheering up. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Matthew 14:24-27. That must have soothed their troubled spirits when Jesus came on the scene. Consider the account Luke gives of this incident. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed at themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Mark 6:47-51. Before Jesus was taken away, he said to his disciples, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. When the apostle Paul was in trouble, he relied on the comfort and strength of the Lord. His enemies were seeking his life, but his time had not come. Listen. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Acts 23:11. Another time, he was aboard ship and the storm was at sea. Listen to him talking to the sailors. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Acts 27:22. Then in verse 25, he came to their rescue through some good cheer. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. And finally, in verse 36, Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. There's nothing quite like good cheer. Listen to what the writer in Proverbs said. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:13. Do not keep the alabaster box of your love and tenderness sealed up until your friends are dead. Fill their lives with sweetness. Speak approving, cheering words while their ears can hear them and while their hearts can be thrilled and made happier. The kind things you mean to say when they are gone, say before they go. The flowers you mean to send for their funeral, send to brighten and sweeten their homes before they leave them. Let us learn to anoint our friends while they're yet among the living. Postmortem kindness does not cheer the burdened heart. Flowers on the casket cast no fragrance backward over the weary way. And speaking of cheerfulness, may I remind you this has much to do with contentment. The apostle said, For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Philippians 4:11. Again, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, And it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8. A final scripture on this contentment. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. Let me but do my work day to day, in field or forest, at this desk or loom, in roaring marketplace or tranquil room. Let me but find it in my heart to say, when vagrant wishes beckon me astray, this is my work, my blessing, not my doom. Of all who live, I am the one by whom this work can best be done in the right way. Then shall I see it not too great nor small to suit my spirit and approve my powers. Then shall I, cheerful, greet the laboring hours and cheerful turn when the long shadows fall at eventide to meditate, love, and rest. Because I know for me my work is best. It has been written, that happy state of mind, so rarely possessed, in which we can say I have enough, is the highest attainment of philosophy. Happiness consists not in possessing much, but in being content with what we possess. He who wants little always has enough. Now, a scripture of warning. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Ecclesiastes 11:9-10. You see, one may let their own heart cheer them, but the question is, have we cheered others? What have we done to lighten their load? What have we done in spreading the gospel in the wide fields around us? These are solemn thoughts. Life's mirror. There are loyal hearts. There are spirits brave. There are souls that are pure and true. Then give to the world the best you have, and the best will come back to you. Give love, and love to your life will flow. A strength in your utmost need. Have faith, and a score of hearts will show their faith in your word and deed. For life is a mirror of king and slave, to just what we are and do. Then give to the world the best you have, and the best will come back to you.